How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, the list goes on and on. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And boy, have we got a lot of stuff to talk to you about today. Yesterday, the WWE Payback pay-per-view, if you were listening on Sunday afternoon, we did a two-hour pre-show for WWE Payback. We made predictions on all the matches, and it is now in the books. We can talk about that show, give you the results of the main matches, and we'll talk about everything leading into WWE Monday Night Raw tonight. There are two Raws before the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. And then after that, there's two Raws into prior to the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Already commercials out for Money in the Bank, even though the Elimination Chamber is coming up in just a couple of weeks. So we're going to talk about that on the program today, and then so much other stuff to discuss. No guests today, but we will be joined tomorrow by one of the legends of pro wrestling. Harley Race is going to be on the show tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. We've got an update on the story that we talked about on Friday. CMLL star Rush and the alleged jail time that he could be facing. I've got a lot of other information about that from Chris Zellner. We'll talk about that today. Vanderlei Silva has been cleared in the sense that a Nevada judge today overturned his lifetime ban as a result of running from a drug test. What does that mean? We'll talk about that here on the show today. Steve Austin has returned to WWE podcasting. He is going to be interviewing Paul Heyman on June 1st. And there is another major star that apparently is set to appear on Austin's podcast later this summer. And it is a name that may shock you, in fact. We'll talk about that on the program today. Plus, coming up the week after July 4th weekend is the Figure 4 Wrestling Observer Convention, and we're going to tell you how you can be joining us for our annual Empire Dinner, a Q&A with Dave Meltzer, and a lot more. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk about that on the show and so much more with Mike Sempervive. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervive, also of WrestlingObserver.com, and since within the last commercial break, news already broke on the internet. May as well kick it off with this. The Undertaker has been confirmed as a future guest on Steve Austin's podcast. We have been told that he is likely going to be on the show sometime this summer, and that one of the things that will almost certainly be broached is next year's WrestleMania. It seems to be obvious that Undertaker is going to do another WrestleMania match. He got through this year's match with Bray Wyatt just fine, was feeling great afterwards, didn't get injured. What they're going to do is up in the air. I know that Undertaker and Sting ended up in an airport together, and they were discussing possibilities for a match. I was at the post-WrestleMania Raw when Sting came out after the show went off the air, and everybody was chanting for Undertaker. I think Sting wants the match. I think Undertaker wants the match. I don't see any reason you shouldn't do the match. But I guess we'll find out later on this summer when he appears on Steve Austin's podcast, which has been confirmed by WWE. Austin will do one podcast a month for the company, beginning in June with Paul Heyman. The first Monday of every month, he will be appearing on the WWE Network. I don't know what this means for the future of Jericho on the network. Apparently, he may be wrapped up for now. He'll be doing Tough Enough and house show tours anyway, but it appears that Steve Austin is back in the chair.
Well, first, I guess you could always just have Jericho pop up, and, you know, if Austin can only do it, you know, it's only going to be one day of the month, so you've got a lot of other time there where if Jericho is able and available to do it, you could have Jericho, considering he pops in and makes appearances and never goes away for truly too long, so I could see him doing that. And the second thing is the great part about The Undertaker and Sting and doing that match next year at WrestleMania is you are, now that it is 2015 and it will be 2016 next year, you're running out of time to beat WCW guys, which Vince still likes to do, and Sting going 0-2 in his WrestleMania career, which will likely happen if he faces The Undertaker next year, unless we get like this whole thing where the roof explodes and the massive scoreboard explodes and just the both of these guys, you know, something happens that way where it goes out to be a draw and they both retire at the same time. But since I don't think that's going to happen, at least in that way, Undertaker gets the win, Sting loses again, and everybody's happy. You got to figure out how you're going to fill 100,000 people into that stadium, and the Undertaker being on the card certainly helps, especially because he's a Texas guy, and you can really do a lot with all of the guys who are based in Texas, who have come out of Texas in their careers, so... there you go. Although, you know, also, too, depending on when this announcement is, I mean, that's still a little bit earlier from The Undertaker to make a decision, although he may have it in mind. He may not announce on Austin show. That's going to be the big tease, I'm sure, outside of just being able to see The Undertaker out of character, which is something that he has played for quite some time. So,
well, I don't think he needs to announce. I think the key would be that you do a podcast and you broach the subject in such a way that you don't announce it, but when the podcast is over, it's all people want to see.
So, I don't know, Steve. You know, what's, you know, if he just says that and Steve will, you know, kind of push him and, you know, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, I don't think it necessarily matters. I think once it gets around like Royal Rumble season, that's when people will actually truly care. I don't think if he does this announcement in like, say, August or something after SummerSlam, I don't know if it's going to have, even if he says yes, I mean, is there going to be that much buzz unless they focus on it on TV every week, kind of, you know, for the rest of the year? I mean, to me, it's going to fall into the background anyway. So I don't think it necessarily matters.
I think that I don't know what the match would be. I don't know if they're even open to it, but because Sting lost at Mania this year, I still think that because it's Sting and Undertaker, people are still going to care next year. I know that Dave disagrees with that. He thinks you beat Sting. Sting and Undertaker isn't going to be a big deal, but I still think that it's going to be a big deal. But I would, if you could find the right guy and you could find the right scenario, book something where Sting has another match. It has to be on a big show, either Royal Rumble or SummerSlam. Sting gets a match with a fairly big name, and he beats the guy, and you give Sting a win. I think that that would go a long way towards making some people more interested in the match. Most people, I think, are going to care just because it's never before seen. It's two legendary names. They had legendary entrances. At least Sting did at the... WrestleMania show. I don't know who it would be, but I think that it would be cool to give him a win, and then that way you can set up a match where at least Sting isn't going in with only one WWE match that he lost.
He could beat Rollins at some point. I mean, you know, I would assume Rollins will still mean something by that point, even if he's not in the tippity-top mix. So, I mean, I'm sure you could do something like that. Or, you know, say Randy Orton turns dirty in the span of the year. He goes and beats him because, you know, he's not going to be too badly damaged, you know, next year around WrestleMania time. The whole rest of the roster, you don't know. You know, Sting beats a lot of these guys. It really wouldn't matter anyway. Not to say everybody's Bo Dallas, but again, it wouldn't matter. So, hey, Sting and The Undertaker, to me, if Sting can go, you can still give him one afterwards, you know, after the fact. It doesn't really hurt him that bad. And again, unless both of them are going to do something weird where they both retire at the same time or something like that. I mean, The Undertaker not winning this would be a shock.
So last night was the WWE Payback show, and it was a good show. Some good matches, including a really good four-way main event where, yes, Seth Rollins retained the title. He stole the win, as one would expect. The big finish at the end was a big comeback by Orton. He did all of his moves, and finally he... He essentially went for his RKO on Seth. Seth shoved him off. He RKO'd Kane, and then he turned around into a pedigree by Seth for the pin. Kane interfered throughout the match. It wasn't even like they teased, what will Kane do, and you have to wait till the end of the match to find out. Which, I'm not going to complain that they just had Kane run in early, because I think that, realistically, that's better than having all the fans think nothing is going to happen until Kane makes his decision. Kane was interfering regularly within about 3 minutes. The Stooges were interfering immediately, and it was basically a five-person match with Kane involved. He did not wear his new tights. He's still wearing his slacks. And,
ooh,
yeah, Seth won. We'll find out tonight on Raw, but it sure appeared to me like they spent an entire month building up a potential Kane babyface turn and match with Seth Rollins, only to blow it off here in this match. And Kane is just going to be back as a heel member of the Authority again. I guess that could change, but they certainly... There were no hints last night that this was continuing. They played it up like it was a complete blow-off of the storyline. And maybe it is. Kane was very, very good in the role. He was very, very good on Friday in his match with Roman Reigns on SmackDown. Now he appears to just be corporate Kane again.
And if that's what happens, then, you know, I guess fine. The way I look at it, Orton pinned clean out. Ambrose was just in there to add the whole Shield dynamic to it and to add another person into the mix, and that was good. But he's not in the plans. So Kane probably not looking like he's in the plans because you only have three pay-per-views or three special events, quote unquote, until SummerSlam. And if you think they're going to do Triple H and Seth Rollins, which they won't, but or you believe they're going to do Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins, which is possible, you know, Paul Heyman going to be on Austin's show. That could be the beginning of Lesnar coming back. Maybe just offhand saying, you know, Michael Cole waived the lawsuit. They don't make a big deal out of it. He continues to go on. He says in a Paul, you know, a sly way, they bring it up to Cole on Raw on Monday. He says, yeah, I dropped the lawsuit. They leave it alone. And then a couple weeks later, out comes Brock Lesnar to get his revenge on Rollins. Now, you do not need Rollins holding the belt for that to happen. So you have three then special events till you get there to have Roman Reigns finally take the belt off of Seth Rollins. And you could do a three-peat with Rollins or him taking three shots, lose the belt, fall out and lose to Brock Lesnar, then completely fall out of favor with Triple H, which could lead to, if you're going to do a thing with Triple H and Rollins, I would figure it would be at Survivor Series. Because then you have the Royal Rumble, and then at WrestleMania next year, Triple H will be involved and in the mix with, I would assume, The Rock. That's what they want to do. So there you go. There's how you can set up that scenario. Because, again, I don't know how long you want to drag Reigns out for, but at some point, he's got to get that belt.
I had been assuming that it was going to be Brock versus Rollins at SummerSlam, and that does make sense. But everybody that I talked to says it may be Rollins and Triple H at SummerSlam. And the pedigree was a part of that story, so I guess we'll find out back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We can add to the list of upcoming names on Steve Austin's podcast, Hulk Hogan and Sting. So they're both coming up before October. And maybe we can have Undertaker and Sting both promoting a match that they want for WrestleMania to see if they can make that match happen. And hey, it's the Undertaker. If he wants to match, he's probably going to have the match. So I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Also, Hulk trying to get himself into a match with Steve Austin in Texas Stadium.
That's right. Also, last night on the show, Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler had a very good match, except for the part where Dolph decided to headbutt him as hard as he could and bust his own head open and bleed everywhere and cause him to go immediately to the finish. Other than that, very good. The New Day versus Cesaro and Kid. New Day won a very good best of three falls match, which was essentially a regular match. They just put each segment of the match into a fall. The babyface shine at the beginning was a fall. The heat was a fall. And the near falls led to a fall. Other than that, very good. I thought the Ryback and Bray Wyatt was much better than I expected, which shocked a lot of people. I guess I didn't realize I had no expectations going in except that it would be bad, and it ended up being shockingly good. Cena and Rusev had almost the exact finish that I expected, although she did not throw in her white scarf or her white skirt, which upset me, but she did quit for Rusev, and I can in fact alert the world that it has been confirmed that at the end of that match, when Rusev was screaming like a wild man in Bulgarian, while he did not say the words, "I quit," he did say, "I give up." And he also cursed John Cena's mother, which is not very nice, and he said, "We will get you next time." So Lana was not lying when she told the referee that Rusev had quit. He did, in fact, say, "I give up." So we'll see if her big breakup takes place tonight on Raw. They didn't do it last night.
Everybody is okay with that match, seemingly. I didn't think it was good at all. I thought Rusev didn't, you know, they didn't knock each other around, which was great. And Rusev, I thought, did a pretty good job selling. But when it came time for both of those guys, to have the mic put in front of their face, and by the way, who's the jokester that decided to have a mic in the ring in a John Cena match? Because we can't hear him call spots most of the time anyway. You have that in there, which did not assist matters. But every time, I mean, no matter what it was.
Hey, let me jump in and just say one thing real quick. I have a button right here that mutes my mic. Would it be that hard to just turn off the mic until the referee starts bringing it towards the guy's face?
Well, plus, even if they did that, there's enough mics around the ring where, I mean, he's loud enough anyway, but yes, I mean, I know, yes, you're right. When Cena got demolished with something, and then the ref sticks the mic in his face, and he's like, hell no. It's like, no, you are actually just completely killed and laid out there. Can you put some strain on it? And to me, Rusev was not believable. Lana selling Rusev's death throughout the match, which I didn't, for the type of finish that they had, shouldn't the last thing have been Rusev getting electrocuted where she loses it, freaks out, runs in, drops down, stops, waves her arms in front of John Cena and just no more, no more. And the referee just, you know, gives it up because Rusev was just electrocuted. It went on after that.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem with your theory right there. So in the match, Cena was rendered completely unconscious, but the match couldn't end because he didn't say the words, I quit.
It's fake.
But the point is, if he had been electrocuted, it wasn't Lana quitting for him. It was Lana alerting the referee that he had said, I quit, just in a foreign language. So technically, she should not be able to quit for him when he's electrocuted.
So what if there was a legitimate knockout? Okay, here's like Dolph Ziggler had a legitimate headbutt that opened up a legitimate cut. What if somebody was legitimately knocked out? Or what are you going to do then? You can't stop the match. You can't throw it to the break. You can't do anything. We're stuck because he didn't say I quit.
Dave answered this last night because they used to do this in California for finishes. It would have been a no contest.
Okay. I love Dave, but let's throw that one out and let me once again say it's fake. Sorry, they went back to the ring again and just, and I'm not, they did this with John Cena and Umaga. It is a good way to get out of it. And Rusev giving up in not his native tongue and Lana translating, and you give him a save because then all he has to do is come out tonight and say, she got the translation wrong. I didn't give up. And, yes, you could continue on both ways with this, but bottom line was, I thought the match was not that good. I didn't like the stipulation. I didn't like how it ended. And I thought it was very cornily acted. So just this whole thing is not doing it for me. And they're going to continue on. And the funny part is, this has been a good long feud for a while, where Cena has done some other things, having the Monday Challenge. Yet he and Rusev are still locked into a long-term feud, and I think it's been good. But I think some of the stipulations that they've had and this whole thing with turning Lana, it just has taken a lot of steam out of it, and it's been a real noble thing to have them feud this long. But unfortunately, it's gotten long in the tooth because of the corniness of it, and some people are going to say PG. That's not true. You could have done this with just better storytelling, better gimmickry in the matches, and not do some of the stuff that they've done. And this whole thing could be a lot better off.
Well, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Not the best wrestling match, but it was smoke and mirrors, and I was really hoping she'd, for storyline purposes, take that skirt off and throw it in the ring as the white towel, but she didn't. So we'll see if they do their big breakup angle tonight. They can't possibly do another match. I can't handle another match, though. I will say that. Sometimes a match just runs its course, and unless Rusev is going to beat the guy in the next match, he's already lost 3 times now. You don't need to beat the poor guy again. Let him go on a destruction streak. But that was the Payback show last night. Tonight is Raw, and I don't know what's going on. I do know that next week the cast of Entourage is going to guest host. Jeremy Piven, however, not on the show next week. For those of you that loved the day that Jeremy Piven co-hosted Raw, it's not going to be happening again. But that's all they've announced for tonight's show. The rest, I guess, will just be fallout from the show, and we'll be reviewing it tomorrow here on this program. Should mention very quickly, if you are a fan of this show, if you're a website subscriber, on the weekend of July 10th, we will all be in Las Vegas for our annual convention. It is the same week as UFC's International Fight Week. They have 4 shows in the span of a 1-week period, and that includes the July 10th UFC pay-per-view with Conor McGregor in the main event. It's one of their biggest shows of the year. And if you're going to be in Las Vegas that weekend, you can join us for our convention. We're having a convention dinner on Friday night, July 10th, at a location to be announced, and you have got to sign up in advance. You can't just show up the day of. And we have a maximum of 48 allowed for this convention, or this convention dinner at least. We'll be doing stuff all weekend. But once 48 is hit, there's spots for nobody else. It is $62 if you would like to join us, and that gets you a buffet dinner with all sorts of great food, including baby back ribs, barbecue chicken breast, flank steak, a dessert tray, drinks, $59, including tax, $62 if you pay via PayPal. And for more information on this, if you'd like to attend, as noted, once we hit 48, there will be room for no more. So if you want to join us for this dinner, after which there will be a Q&A, largely with Dave, but I'll be there as well. He'll do a Q&A for everybody there. If you'd like to join us for this, contact Ed, yes, Ed in San Antonio, at f4wfan@hotmail.com. That is f4wfan@hotmail.com. If for whatever reason you can't remember the email address, you can email me and I will forward it to Ed. He will tell you how to pay, who to pay, and we'll get you on the list to join us for the convention dinner. It's an awesome time every year. So if you're going to be in Vegas the week of July 10th, make sure you sign up ASAP, because once we hit 48, you're not going to be able to get in. So every year there are a couple of people that want to get in but are unable to. So make sure that you sign up in advance for that. F4WFan@hotmail.com. Mike, did you watch the Mark Munoz speech?
I have not seen the Munoz speech yet. I have not required the urge to be that inspired and to have that kind of lorn in my heart or something like that. So, but I heard it was awesome.
Mark Munoz retired after the UFC show in the Philippines. He, of course, from the Philippines. It was such a great speech. It's online. You can just probably Google Mark Munoz retirement. I think UFC put the video out. And it's just such a great speech.
He comes. Was it more believable than Brie Bella's?
Oh, my God. He came off as the nicest guy, the most sincere guy. He retired. He put his gloves down in the ring. He's going to come back, he says, to help all the children learn how to wrestle. He's going to give back. I mean, this was the best retirement speech that I've seen in God knows how long. And they can't do stuff like this on pro wrestling, which is 100% scripted. And I have absolutely no earthly idea why they can't. It was great.
Well, to be fair, you don't want to overuse stipulations in wrestling, and I don't think we should go the Jim Cornette method, because it's much too much like Memphis now. You got so much live TV, you got so much going on, you got to burn through things quickly, but you did only a couple years ago have Mark Henry do this to John Cena, so you have used the stipulation, but if you're talking about, you know, emotional type things, yes, they should do that more. But yeah, Brie Bella is the greatest example of that, because I believe the same way you do in that the speech writing is what has killed that, instead of just having her go out there and say, hey, talk about Daniel and his situation and try to be upset.
I think that Mark Henry actually may have done a better speech than Mark Munoz now that I think about it. But
better suit, I'm sure.
We're going to be back in just a second. We'll talk more news and potentially take phone calls as well. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, tomorrow, Harley Race is going to be joining us here on the show. Multi-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, multi-time Hall of Famer. It's going to be on the program tomorrow. Couple of news notes, and we may open up the phone lines. This from MMAJunkie.com. Vanderlei Silva won a major victory in court today with the Nevada District Judge throwing out the lifetime ban the Nevada State Athletic Commission handed down in early 2014. The judge did agree that the NSAC had jurisdiction over Silva despite his being an unlicensed athlete at the time, but there was not sufficient evidence to support a lifetime ban. He was handed the hefty punishment after he ran from a random drug test ahead of UFC 175. He admitted to taking a banned substance, but said it was a diuretic to help with the healing process from a wrist injury. What? Doesn't even make any sense. He then announced his retirement from MMA shortly after the punishment was handed down.
They got some different performance enhancers in Brazil, because remember this with Anderson's leg?
That's right. That's right. So it does say here, and this is a key. It says that he However, today's ruling declared otherwise, Silva will now have to again face the NSAC to determine his punishment for skipping out on the May 2014 drug test. So essentially what they've said is, we are rescinding the lifetime ban. However, you have got to go before the NSAC now, and they, I guess, will have to give him a new punishment. Now, they have since announced at the beginning of September, if you run away from a test, it is a four-year ban. So my guess is that when he goes before the commission, they will say, okay, fine, no lifetime ban, but you're going to get a four-year ban, which, given the age of Wanderlei Silva, is essentially a lifetime ban for mixed martial arts. And that I don't think he's going to be able to fight.
No, maybe they, what is the ban now? 3 years if you run? Is that how it works?
Right now, at this exact moment?
Or was it,
there's no ban right now.
When the new rules happen, what are
It'll
they?
Be four.
4 years, okay. So I guess you could say, okay, hey, Wanderlei, if he does decide, heaven forbid, to show up for one of these things, which I don't think he will, if he does decide to show up for whatever reason he needs to, I can see them saying 2 years. You know, that's what they cut it to, which, again, is still essentially going to kill his career. I think if it's, you know, if this happens in the next 6 months, even 18 months, a year is probably the max you could do if you're Wanderlei Silva and get any use out of him anywhere. If you're going to have him have one fight, but I think even that may be too long. So yeah, he's done. It's all pretty much NSAC, I mean, considering Silva's not going to fight again, at least they can say that they rescinded it and it's, you know, out of the way and it's done. Because Silva doesn't seem to be fighting again, but they can look like in the end that they took it away and, you know, these new rules have been ushered in and they can just continue to go forward.
Oh, by the way, Paul here says, if Cena versus Rusev 5 happens and Rusev wins, then we will have to get 6 because Cena has a rematch clause. Actually, that's not true because Cena has stated in promos that if he loses to Rusev, he does not deserve to have a rematch. So 5.
Yes, but if they're commissioning a new belt for him, we have to have a 6.
Well, someone can beat Rusev and then he could beat them. You could do it that way, but
technically.
Anyway, also here, this is an update from Friday. This is from Chris Zellner. Reforma reported on Friday that William Arturo Munoz Gonzalez, better known to Lucha fans as Rush, is under investigation by the Mexico City Police for a possible assault of an Arena Mexico security guard. The reports are that Rush and his wife were trying to enter Arena Mexico through a door in the parking lot, but Rush's wife was not authorized to enter through the door, and they had to wait until he could get the authorization to let her in. Well, the security guard, Mr. Najera, called his superiors, and they gave him the okay to let her in, which Rush and his wife would enter. But Rush was visibly upset, and not too long after he went in, he came back and started ranting and raving at the security guard, saying that he was disrespecting his wife and women in general, saying that he should be ashamed of his actions, and asked him if he, quote, wanted to die, before hitting him very hard in the head, knocking him unconscious. It was also noted that Rush had some issues with the security guard in the past, but it wasn't anything like this. Rush was then apprehended by Arturo Beristain, the former El Hijo del Gladiador, who works in the front office of EMLL, and taken back into Arena Mexico. Then, the security guard was able to contact his boss, and he was immediately taken to the hospital, which is right near Arena Mexico. He was kept under observation. The blows were determined to not be major injuries, and he was given pain medication and hot compresses to help him out. The next day, he met with Salvador Luderoth and Paco Alonso, the top guys at CMLL at Arena Mexico, and the two head honchos told him they didn't want this released to the media, and they wanted him to go to another hospital if he had any more problems, because this was the company-contracted hospital. They also promised him that they would give Rush heavy sanctions for his transgressions if he didn't press charges. So Juarez started off doing what they told him to do, but his pain got worse by the third day, and a couple of days later, he went back to the hospital, and they told him he had suffered a third-grade whiplash, concussion, and a possible fracture of the vertebra. Mr. Juarez has been seeing orthopedic specialists in other hospitals since then because he felt there was a conspiracy going on between EMLL and their contracted hospital. It should be noted that around this time, Rush wasn't booked on any Mexico City cards for 3 weeks, so it was possible that he was suspended, but nothing has been confirmed yet. The police are investigating, and as Chris said earlier, it could turn out to be nothing, or it could turn out to be a big something. Allegations of conspiracy now. That's heavy stuff.
Well, he could be right. He very much could be right, although it was kind of we talked about last Friday. It is a whiplash. It's official there. And maybe he went and just said, okay, the doctors checked him out and you seem to be okay in pain here and gave him the pain medication. And maybe he was fine and then thought, why are they telling me what to do? I want to get paid. Or maybe he just thought, I want to get paid. And that's why he went to do it. The bottom line is, though, he's got the case because Rush is the idiot who freaked out and went out there and took the shot at him that led to all of this. So tough. And you know, CMLL, could there have been something up between the hospital and CMLL? I guess it's possible. You know, it's influence and all that sort of stuff. I wouldn't fall over shocked, but also, maybe as bad as it was for Rush to have hit this dude, he is a security guard. Maybe he's not as hurt as he says and is looking for pay. Who knows? Whatever the bottom line is, Rush is an idiot for doing something like this. And especially when the guy was just doing his job and his wife ultimately got in anyway. Just not cool.
We're going to open up the phone lines for the last few minutes of the show here. 855-478-4478 is the phone number, the Figure 4 line, the Sports Byline line. 1-800-878-7529. That is 1-800-878-7529. If you'd like to give us a call today, try to stay on topic. Payback, any of the topics that we have been talking about today on the program, and we'll see what is on everybody's mind. Don't forget that later on today, we're going to be joined by Filthy Tom Lawler here on the program today, who is the one guy on the website who is willing to watch the Jerry Springer Show on the WWE Network. He's going to be reviewing it every week, and so I can't wait for that. To the phones, the Figure 4 line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan, you just cost me $3. What's up?
I'd like to talk about WWE pay-per-view. Something I found very interesting was I saw Gain and Jones on the pay-per-view. When I looked on the Tough Enough website, all the VOW stars were featured in Tough Enough videos. So I wonder if WWE has a working agreement with Vicious Outcast Wrestling because so many of their talents are showcased on the website.
I would bet you, Ryan, all of the money that has been donated to Whale Scout because of your calls, that WWE does not have a working agreement with Vicious, what's it called?
Vicious Outcast Wrestling. The other stars featured are Dylan Bostick, and also Tessa Blanchard hasn't been a wrestler, but she's appeared in the crowd before. And also Jimmy Nuts has been featured on TV.
I've heard a lot about Jimmy Nuts. No, there is no working agreement there, Ryan, but that was a good theory. Should mention here that somebody emailed me and said, wasn't Rocky V about Rocky versus the Russian? So there has to be a Cena versus Rusev V. Actually, Rocky IV was Rocky versus the Russian.
Rocky V was Rocky against himself, and then ultimately at the end of the movie...
Hey, don't spoil Tommy... it! I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, tough. Tommy Morrison, Tommy Gunn, come on.
Was that really... What was the one where he was old? Was that Rocky VI?
Well, yes. Well, Rocky V and Rocky VI. Rocky V opened with him in the shower, feeling as though something was wrong, and he was leaning over, and all of the trauma and damage that he took in the fight with Ivan Drago in Rocky IV seemed to come to roost in Rocky V, and he was an older guy now. His boxing career was essentially done. He had suffered damage and injuries, and that was it. He was done. He took this fighter, Tommy Morrison, playing it was Tommy Gunn under his wing. He trains him. He builds him up a little bit, and then a dastardly character that was a Don King type came in and took this fighter away, which caused havoc between Rocky and this fighter. And Rocky ended up fighting Tommy Gunn at the end and knocking him out in a street corner, knocked out Don King, and then went back into the house. And we thought they were done with the Rocky movies until Rocky VI came out. And then they used the Evander Holyfield excuse of why he is licensed again after suffering brain damage. Things changed.
So Rocky VI was the one they just called Rocky Balboa.
Yes, and it was actually excellent. It really was good, especially compared to Rocky V, which was no so good.
All right, to the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, this is Eric from Minnesota.
Yes, Eric.
I was wondering, I noticed during the Sheamus and Ziggler match last night, after Ziggler rubbed his face in Sheamus's butt in Sheamus's face, that JBL and Kane were giving Michael Cole a lot of crap about kissing Button staying in the company for as long as he has. I was wondering if there's guy. I know I also noticed after that, then the announcer didn't say nothing for a few seconds. I was wondering if JBL and Kane got any crap from that last night.
If anything, I think they were probably told to say it.
Okay, because I noticed the announcers quit talking for a few seconds, so I didn't know if Vince was yelling at them in their headsets or anything.
Well, I haven't talked to any of the announcers, so I have no idea what Vince did or didn't say. But often things...
Probably just to bust Cole Stones. That's it. I mean, because think about JBL and his standing. And, you know, I mean, Lawler's the only one there who's not... who you could consider outside the WWE bubble. But I mean, it's a lot of peas in the pod right there.
To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Brian and Mike. This is Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas.
Yes, Danny.
Y'all did a great job on the Payback coverage. But since nobody calls about Raw on Monday, you know, like y'all said a couple weeks ago.
Because they don't tell us anything about it.
Exactly. But I'm throwing my bone here. Like, do you see for this tag team Elimination Chamber, they put, like, each team in each pod? Like, we have up to, like, 12 people in this match? This sounds like a cluster.
Well, yeah. There are how many pods? Six pods? Four pods? How many pods are there? Six?
Yeah. Yeah, four, so six people, yeah.
Okay, so that's 12 people in the match, because each pod will have a team in it.
Right.
Now, they may not, I was told they may not use every pod for the tag team deal. They may only use, like, four teams, so they'd have two teams start and then four other pods, as opposed to filling up all six of the pods. I don't even know if they have that many tag teams. But, yes, the teams will be together in pods, and I guess then we'll have a wild, crazy tornado match in the ring with everybody doing all... That actually sounds like a pretty fun match.
Primetime players are probably the ones on the outside looking in. New Day, Harper and Rowan, Ascension, Lucha Dragons, Matador, Kid and Cesaro. That's probably your six, right?
Is that six?
That's six, and then the primetime players would be seven.
And is there one more team in this entire company? Did you list the Ascension?
The Usos, but they're hurt.
The Usos are hurt. Hey, I got to say something, by the way. I was watching SmackDown. The Usos being hurt is the best thing that ever happened to Naomi, because now she can be a heel and they don't have that weirdness of her husband and her brother-in-law being there all the time, being happy baby faces. So anyway, we're going to head to a break. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Actually, I had an idea during the break. What I should do is every time that Laura offers money, if Ryan is not the first caller... If Ryan is the first caller and I lose out, I should require him to make that donation to WhaleScout.org. What do you think?
I'm for that.
Should mention, by the way, that I didn't do this, but Vinny did. Last night on the WWE pay-per-view during the I Quit match, which Mike did not like, they had the hashtag I Quit up there in the corner. And apparently, if you went to that hashtag, it was quite the entertaining hashtag. Because suffice to say, a lot of those people were not watching WWE Payback. They were ranting about quitting.
Quitting what?
Yeah, your job, relationships, you know, that sort of thing. He was entertaining himself throughout the match. Maybe that's why he liked it as well. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be joined by Harley Race, many-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, multi-time Hall of Famer. He is going to be on the program tomorrow. And later on tonight, two more shows for subscribers. Filthy Tom Lawler show is going to be up in about an hour. He's going to be reviewing all sorts of shows, SmackDown. I think he watched Bellator, the Too Hot for TV with Jerry Springer, which, God, that looks terrible. Not quite as terrible as what's that other show they promoted last night? Swerved.
Oh, Swerved.
Oh, dear God, that looks awful. So Filthy Tom is going to be talking about that. And then Dave Meltzer and I are going to be up after Raw with a full review of that show, as well as all of the other news for today. So that will be a lot of fun. Don't forget, if you're listening for the first time, we are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, as well as links up at WrestlingObserver.com, Sirius Satellite Radio, a number of different outlets, most listened to pro wrestling and MMA radio show in the world. We replay every day at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern as well. So make sure you check that out. So yes, tomorrow, back at noon with a brand new show. I want to thank everybody for listening, all the folks that called in, the folks at Sports Byline USA, Mike as always, and all of you, the listeners. Back tomorrow with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.